Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 10 today. Labor Day is the first Monday in September. It's a creation of the labor movement and is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contributions of workers and what they have made as far as their strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. And it's amazing, other countries also have a Labor Day. I think it was in Jamaica. I've been there. I've been in Jamaica when they've had their Labor Day, and I was supposed to start class on Monday. And guess what? We didn't have class on Monday. We started on Tuesday because they forgot it was Labor Day. And on Labor Day, their tradition is they all the church people come and they work on the church for the morning or whatever. Four or five hours they work, and then they have a big meal. And then they go spend time with their families. It's kind of a neat tradition that they do on Labor Day. I think for a lot of us, it's a day that we maybe go camping or maybe we'll learn to have a grill out, just have a good time together. But it's to recognize just the importance of work in our nation and how it's contributing. So Proverbs chapter 10 talks about that. Do you remember the day when you first started working? Now the kids maybe have allowance, right? But the adults, remember that first day that you started working and you got paid for doing something? Remember that first day? I remember I started mowing yards. It was probably the first thing that I did. Instead of getting paid $20, $25 for doing a yard, I probably got paid, I don't know, $2.50 or $5 for doing a yard. Times have changed, right? But I remember the first real job I had started working for my dad. My dad and my uncles had a construction company. And so at age 12, something happened. Every Memorial Day, not Labor Day, but every Memorial Day, we would go up to Canada. The ice would just come off the lakes. We would have to drive about 12 hours to get up there. And the ice usually had just gotten off the lake. And we would fish for walleye and northern were the two primary fish that we would catch. So when I was 12 years old, I caught a big fish. You can put that up there, Eben. A big northern pike, 21 pounds. Yes. Doesn't he look like he's a big fish? He had a big stomach on him. But my dad said, yeah, I ate him. No, actually, we didn't eat him because they said, you know, you should get him mounted. My dad says, I don't know if we want to get him mounted. So we wrapped him up, took him back home, and he said, we checked into it, it's about $200 and some. There's so many bucks an inch, like $5 an inch or something like that. He was 21 inches, 22 inches, so it's going to be over $200 to get him mounted. My dad said, well, we can get him mounted, but you have to pay for it. And so I started working for my dad and my uncles in the construction business, so I would go around with my broom, and I'd sweep up, pick up after them, and that's the way I began at $2.50 an hour, you know. Didn't seem like much, but for a kid that age, it actually ended up being okay. And before I knew it, I was up to $5 an hour, and I wasn't just cleaning up. Now I was hanging sheetrock, shingling, framing walls, even walking on walls, you know, and when they frame. And did all that type of stuff and ended up making some fairly good money. To the place that when I graduated from high school and we had moved up to Alaska, I started a summer job, $20 an hour, being a laborer for a construction company. So for a kid right out of college, even today that's not too bad of money, right? Back then it was real good money for a young kid. And so it helped pay for school and all that type of stuff, clothes and all those good things. So, and you maybe have a similar story of how work began in your life. And you know, in Nebraska, we're known for our good work ethic, aren't we? And the whole Midwest. We're known that we know how to work and we do a good job. So I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 10 and see what Solomon has to say about this thing called work. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. Let's see if you guys are there. All right. Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son, grief to his mother. I'm not sure why it's one or the other. So, ill-gotten treasures are of no value, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during the harvest is a disgraceful son. Amen. That's where I think we're going to stop. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Pray you take your word, apply it to our hearts and to our lives, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk, each of these verses I think is a point, so let's see what Solomon has to say. Solomon is known as one of the wisest people that has ever lived this earth. God blessed him not only as he became king. His prayer was, God, I don't know how to lead this great number of people that you've made me king over. And he sought God, and God says, I'll give you anything you want. And he says, I want wisdom to rule your people. And because he asked such a noble prayer, God says, not only will I give you wisdom, but I'll also give you fame and I'll also give you riches. And so Solomon was blessed with the gift of wisdom. It didn't mean that he necessarily made the right choices himself, but he was wise in what he knew. People would come from all over the world to sit at his feet and to hear his wisdom. The first thing that we see in verse 1 is that a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. First thing there is that our work ethic impacts those who raised us. Your work ethic, how you perform in school, so when Marcel and Ethan and Karina are in school, and how you perform in school and work with your teachers, not only it reflects upon you, it also reflects upon who? Yes, you, Kat. Right? It does. It reflects upon you as the student, but it also reflects upon you as the parent, the person that has raised up that person. And it goes for all of us. And if you are a parent or have gone through those years of parenting, you've experienced the joy of when your child excels, and whether it's a sport, whether it's school, whether it's at work, you've experienced the joy that has come as they've succeeded or they've done well, because it reflects back on us. But if you've been a parent, you've also experienced the pain or the hurt that comes when a child has made a choice that hasn't been wise, or they've chosen to go down a different path. That hurts. There's hardly anything more hurtful than that takes place. It comes back. It doesn't just affect us. And so when we're looking at the idea of work, and other passages say we should work as we're working to the Lord, but when we work, to realize, you know what, it's not just a reflection of me. It's also a reflection upon my parents. If I want to honor them, I need to work hard because I bear their name, right? One of the football players that they're interviewing, I don't know if it was for Nebraska or for one of the professional teams, but I think he was a walk-on, so I think it was college. He was a walk-on kid. He worked hard, and he was known for that, and maybe it was Gangwish. I'm wondering if it was him that they were interviewing. And he said, you know what, I have to do well because of the name on the back of my shirt. He realized that there was a legacy that had gone before him, and others, his parents and his fathers, that had, and uncle and maybe grandpa that had played as well, and they had excelled. And he realized that he also had to carry on that name that reflected also not only on himself, but on his parents. So our work ethic impacts those who raised us. So children, if you want to honor your parents, develop a good work ethic and make good moral choices. You will be blessed because of that. You know what? If you do well in school and get straight A's, guess what? You get scholarships, you get money, you get favor. So you benefit from it as well. But also, you know what? It brings blessing upon your parents as well. for your accomplishments and what you've done. It impacts their lives as well. Verse 2, secondly, ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, but righteousness delivers from death. And here Solomon points out an important thing, that right living is more important than dishonest riches. Right living is more important than dishonest riches. And I was just reading in the paper this morning, a guy in Spain was in jail, and on his prison leave, he had maybe a day or two, and he must have had some acreage. But he was able to, and a few hired people, but he was able to organize them in such a way that they planted 70,000 pot plants, and he had a pretty good marijuana plantation going, and they figured out, they finally, it's the biggest plantation they've caught or found in Spain, and they caught him and arrested him. And now he's going to probably do more time. there's a lot of ways we can make dishonest gain, isn't there? You know, you can steal, sell drugs. Our nation has been inundated with hackers. It probably has affected all of us here. We've been hacked, whether it was at Home Depot or Kohl's, or I think even Blue Cross Blue Shield got hacked. So, we have people out there that are trying to make dishonest gain. And Solomon says, right living is more important than dishonest riches. You go out there and you make money illegally. It's not always as enjoyable as what one would think or one would imagine. Whitney Bulger, everybody know who he is? Whitney Bulger? He was the Irish-American mobster. They got a movie coming out on him here, Johnny Depp. It's rated R, so I wouldn't go to it, but it's kind of a dark movie. I mean, there's just violence and stuff in there. But he was a mobster. He killed people, had no regret. He escaped police for 16 years. He had money, and he went undercover. But eventually, he got caught. And now he's back in jail. And so, that movie's about his life. And, you know, he made money illegally and dishonestly, and it lasted for a time and a season. But after a while, you kind of get tired of the running and trying to hide. And you can't enjoy the money that you've made, right? Because you're always looking behind your back to see if somebody is there to get me, whether it's police or past people that you've offended or hurt. You can never be at peace with them. How many saw the movie Catch Me If You Can? Catch Me If You Can. It's about the real-life story of Frank Abagnale, Tom Hanks, and Leonardo DiCaprio play in this one. But he, through his fraud and forgery, just as he had turned 18, 19 years old, he began forging and became very smart, very intelligent, and just was able to make millions through fraud and deception. And so Tom Hanks plays the detective that is on his case, and Leonardo plays the guy escaping. Finally, he gets caught, but he kind of wants to get caught because he's tired of running. And he ends up being an informant and a consultant for the FBI to help catch other forgers, and became worked there for 30, 40 years before he retired. But in the movie, a key point in the movie is that after he'd been caught and he'd been working with Tom Hanks, this detective, to help keep people, he had the opportunity where he could go. He was supposed to stay, but if he wanted to flee, Tom Hanks was going to give him the freedom to flee. He had a choice. Did he want to go back to the old life of running and make dishonest gain, or did he want to do something that was honest? And he had a choice, and he had the weekend, but he showed back to work the next day. When he was supposed to show up, he was a little bit late, but he showed up. And he made that choice that he was tired of the running. He wanted what he wanted to do for the rest of his life, he wanted to do in a way that was honest. Because he learned that, you know what, you can make all this, but if you live a life on the run and you do everything dishonestly, there's no peace, there's no value in it. And so Solomon points out that right living is more important than dishonest riches. You know what? If you could make millions of dollars dishonestly and can't enjoy it, it's better to make your average income from Nebraska and be at peace. And knowing, you know what, I've worked hard, and what I've done, I've earned, I've deserved it. I can go to bed at night knowing I've done what is right. And that's worth something, folks. That's worth something. Solomon says it's worth more than riches. Number three, the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. And folks, this is a good promise. If you walk with God, this is a good promise that God will satisfy the needs of the righteous. That's the point. God will satisfy the needs of the righteous. And what Solomon is saying there, you know what? If you live your life in a righteous way, honoring God and doing what is right, God is going to satisfy your needs. In fact, in the Hebrew there, it seems to even go beyond your needs to even supplying your wants that honor him. Wow. You ever had God grant you a want? You prayed about it. It's something you didn't need, but you kind of wanted it. And God answered that prayer? Yeah. You know what? I think God wants to bless his people. And not only just our immediate needs. I believe that God even wants to give us some of the desires of our heart, as long as it honors him. That God wants to do that. And if we live a righteous life and we live a life that honors him, I believe that God, above all things, wants to bless his people. Matthew 6:33. Who can quote it? I thought you were saying you knew it. First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh! And his righteousness and what? All these things will be added to you. What are all these things? What's he talking about in that passage of Matthew? What? Well, he talks maybe about forgiveness. What is he mainly talking about? He's talking about the Gentiles. They run after money, after clothes, after material things. And they wear themselves running after these things. And he says, you know what? You're the children of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. God's going to provide for his people. Last week we talked about the shepherd found in Micah. Jesus, the good shepherd. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? Because the Lord is providing and leading and directing for those who live according to his ways. I believe that God wants to bless the righteous and go before them. Number four, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. I'm going to go to verse 5 as well. I'm dividing these up into 2 points. And he who gathers crops in the summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during the harvest is a disgraceful son. The first thing we see there is that idle, or it actually means even careless hands, lead to poverty. So it means that these lazy hands or careless hands, one, they don't want to work, so they don't want to go to work, and even if they're at work, they're kind of lazy. And when I worked for my dad, you could not have lazy hands because they were Germans, okay? They had a little bit of a temper, just a little bit. That was one of the things that bothered them. If they were working, you didn't stand around doing nothing. You pitched in, you got the shovel, you got whatever, and you started working. You didn't always ask to be told what to do. If you saw something to be do, you picked up the shovel, you picked up the hammer, you got to work. All right? That was probably drilled into me way too much. But this idea that careless or idle hands, it'll lead to poverty. And you can have wealth, but if you have idle hands or lazy hands, eventually that money wears out. And it's gone. It runs away. It develops legs and runs away. Really, it does. I've never seen a lazy person rewarded or see it accomplish favor in their life. If you're too lazy to work or lazy to be in the job that you have, eventually you're not going to have a job, right? If you're not going to do a good job at work, there's somebody else that will. And you won't be there long. And it's hard to pay for food, for clothes, for rent, for utilities, if you don't have a job, folks. So, lazy hands are going to lead to poverty. And our country has flourished upon hard work and innovation. That is the beauty of our nation, that if a person can come to our nation with nothing. I think of Amy's grandma, came from Germany, escaping Hitler. She was a German Jew. She was able to get out before they really closed off. She was on one of the last ships out of Germany. Came to America with nothing, folks, and was able to make a good living. So when she retired, she had a nice retirement. But she worked hard as a servant and worked her way up to the department store. That's the country we work in, we live in. But there's that opportunity that if you work hard, in a lot of ways the sky is the limit, based upon who you are, your innovation, how you work. But that's the beauty of our nation. And not everyone who works hard is going to be a millionaire. That used to be a lot of money, right? Now you got billionaires out there, don't you? Not everybody's going to be that, but I believe that if you work hard, you're going to have enough to provide for you and your family. I do know that if you don't work, you're not going to have much. That's just the simple truth, isn't it? All right, number five, drum roll. Okay. Diligent hands lead to wealth. And in the Hebrew, wealth is not just gold or silver or money, right? It's not just that. Okay? Wealth is seen in a much larger context, that it can even be health. It can be having a family that loves each other. There's a lot of things that wealth entails in the Hebrew, okay, and in that context. And if we just see wealth as money in the bank, in the checkbook, it's very narrow. Because there's a lot of people that have money. You hear about the guy that created, is it Minesweeper? Or what's that, Minecraft? Is it Minecraft? Is it Minecraft? Yeah. He's a billionaire now, and he doesn't know what to do with his money, and he's complaining that he's not happy. Isn't that? Point in case. You can be a billionaire and not be happy. It's more than, and not be happy, it's more than just having money. Wealth is having a right relationship with God, knowing your sins are forgiven. That makes you rich, Paul said, right? It's knowing that you have a purpose in life and that what you're doing matters. It means giving to help out the needs of others. Wealth is much broader than we sometimes make it. You know, we live in a great nation, and I believe a lot of what we see in our nation is a result of hard work. Men and women who through blood, sweat, and tears made this nation great, whether it was fighting for our independence or even blazing new trails to develop our land. What does concern me today is the sense of entitlement that ties in with these verses that I deserve something for doing nothing. And see, that totally goes against what Solomon says, right? He says, if you have diligent hands, hey, you're going to have something. But if you have lazy hands, you're going to have nothing. And Solomon is pretty clear on that. I believe that if we put our hands to work, and it's not always in the glorious things, is it? Sometimes it's just being faithful with the small things. Sweeping floors and picking up lumber. And then it leads to something else. And when we moved to Springfield, Missouri, I was in a position, a job that was really providing well for our needs, probably the best situation that we've ever been in, really. Just the package that was there and provided for us at the, we were managing a campground. And we made the move to Springfield, and Amy had a job, I didn't. And I tell you what, when you're 30 years old and you're just needing a part-time job. I was probably overqualified for a lot of things. You could work for, I finally got a job as $9 an hour working as a para. Not a para, but as a, well, it was kind of like a para. It was a physical therapy aide. But then I got on a global university. But it was $9 an hour, a little bit above minimum wage, doing data entry. not my greatest love. For some of you, that would be the ticket for you. It wasn't for me. But if you're faithful with that, then God brings other opportunities. And that's what happened. God all of a sudden gave me a more responsibility and eventually became into a full-time managerial position. But it all started off doing a data entry job and being faithful for the small things. You know, going back to my opening story, I remember one of those summers that I'd been working for my dad, and I'd been saving up, and so when I would get a check, so much went in savings, some went in the checkbook, and I always tithed off of that, started tithing when I started working. But I remember I made an order out to Cabela's, and that was the days before the internet, so you had to take the form out of the middle of the magazine and make out your order there, and write out the check and send it in, and then you'd get it in a week or two later. But I remember writing that out, and I think my order came to $200. So that's back 30 years ago, folks. It's a long time ago. Just for fishing lures, okay? Daredevils. Still got some of those to this day. And, you know, I think about, man, that's a lot of money just to spend on fishing lures. Nowadays, you can put $200 in a fishing pole and a reel. It seemed like a lot of money. But you know what? Here's the deal. I had worked hard for that money. I had saved up for it. I had given. I had even given to our campgrounds. You know, I was doing something that a lot of adults were doing. And I had saved up that money. And so it was mine to spend, you know, and I spent it on a hobby that I enjoyed. Could have been on a lot worse things, right? But it was on something I enjoy. And that's the key, folks. If we have diligent hands, if we work, I always like to be in a place that not only I can be able to provide for the needs of my family and help out, but also to be able to give back to people, to the church, to other projects, to be able to be generous. Because I think that's, if we just bring in enough just to provide for our family, I want to be able to also give. Okay? And sometimes I've been in places where, boy, it's just really hard to give because things have been so tight. So I'm going to have the musicians come. Is work easy? Ethan, is work easy? No, it is. Oh, I bet your mom's going to remember that. there are some things that we do that are work that we enjoy doing, don't we? But even some of the best jobs are a lot of work. They're blood, they're sweat, they're tears. But you know what? There's a lot of fulfillment that comes from doing work. And when you get a paycheck for work that you've done or accomplishment, or maybe you get a compliment on something you've done. Yeah, that feels good. It feels good to know, you know what, I've worked hard, I got a paycheck of providing. There's a sense of meaning and purpose that comes from that. Labor Day is a day that we remember hard work and people that have gone before us, and even today, that our society values work. It's okay to relax on Labor Day. I'm going to probably do some work. But to reflect on what has happened in our nation, those that have gone before us. But even just to take to heart what Solomon said. Let's go over those one more time. Our work ethic impacts those who raised us. Right living is more important than dishonest riches. God satisfies the needs of the righteous. Idle and careless hands lead to poverty, but diligent hands lead to wealth. Wealth in the broader context. So this morning, as we close, let God challenge your own heart. Sometimes you get older. It doesn't get any easier to work, I don't think. Sometimes it even gets a little bit harder, doesn't it? That couch or that sofa can get kind of comfortable. Stuff that needs to be done. But it just doesn't pay the bills. And God wants us to be diligent with our hands, not only just for our own income, but even to help the needs of the poor and those that are just unfortunate. I think about even just in what's happening in Europe right now, just with the refugees from Syria. If you've been watching that on the news, just... And Hungary is just being very pacifist. They're not doing anything about it. The people that are just need, they're educated people, hardworking people, but they're being pushed out of their country because of war. They're just looking for a place where they can be safe, where they can work and start over. Yeah. So we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? We have a lot to be thankful for. For our country and for our nation. Would you stand this morning? And have those, if you have a need or request, Victor and Yolanda, Gil and Emily are going to be up here joining me. And if you have a need or request this morning, would you find us in the front? We're going to close with that song, Overwhelmed, but it just talks about delighting ourselves in God. And to me, that is the greatest motivation when we work, that whatever we do, we're doing it for God. And that's what Paul says, that whatever you do, do it as you are doing it unto the Lord, as an offering to Him. Amen. Would you lead us in that? If you have any request, why don't you come forward this morning?